Unforced errors. Start in your head. A mental training plan for tennis players. The stat line says 28 unforced errors. Your coach says you need to hit more balls in. Thanks. Helpful. But what the stat line doesn't capture is what happened in your head before each of those 28 balls sailed long, caught the tape, or drifted into the doubles alley. Because by the time the ball left your racket, the error had already happened. It happened in the half second before contact, when your brain fed your body the wrong instructions. Unforced errors are not primarily a technique problem. If you can hit 50 clean forehands in a row during a warm-up rally, your stroke works. The question is why it stops working when the score is 4-5, 30-40, and your opponent is bouncing on the baseline, waiting for you to hand them the break. The answer is almost always one of three mental patterns, and all three are trainable. The three mental patterns behind unforced errors: anticipatory anxiety, the don't miss pattern. This one is sneaky because it disguises itself as concentration. You're about to hit a forehand cross court, a shot you've made 10,000 times. But instead of your brain sending the cue racket head through the ball, it sends don't hit this into the net. Your muscles respond to what the brain actually says, not what you wish it had said. The result? A tight arm, a shortened swing path, and a ball that goes exactly where you were trying to avoid. Wegener's ironic process theory, 1994, explains the mechanism precisely. When you try to suppress a thought, don't miss. The monitoring process that checks whether you're thinking about missing actually keeps the concept of missing active in working memory. The harder you try not to think about the net, the bigger the net gets in your mind. It's a cognitive trap with a beautiful irony. Effort makes it worse. Outcome focus, the scoreboard brain pattern. You're up 5-3 and serving for the set. Instead of thinking about your serve placement or your first ball pattern, you're thinking about the scoreboard. If I hold here, I take the first set. If I get broken, it's 5-4, and the momentum shifts. Your attention has jumped from the ball to the consequence of missing the ball, which is a very different thing. Wolf and Luthwaite's optimal theory, 2016, demonstrates that an external focus on the target or the ball produces significantly better motor performance than an internal focus on the body or an outcome focus on the result. When attention shifts to the scoreboard, you lose the external task focus that makes your strokes automatic. Your body starts asking for conscious instructions, how do I hit a kick serve again, instead of running the program it already knows. Tension accumulation, the slow boil pattern. This one doesn't announce itself. It builds. A tight first game. A bad line call in the fourth. Your opponent grunting louder than necessary. Your own footwork feeling heavy. None of these individually cause unforced errors, but the cumulative physiological effect. Elevated heart rate, increased muscle tension, shallow breathing, narrowed peripheral vision. Degrades motor coordination over time. By the middle of the second set, you're hitting with 20% more grip pressure than your warm-up. Your breathing rate has climbed without you noticing, and your stroke timing is slightly off on every ball. Each error is small enough to look like bad luck. In aggregate, it's a tension problem that nobody trained you to manage. Landers and Arendt's research on arousal and motor performance, 2001, shows this is predictable. As arousal rises above the athlete's optimal zone, fine motor control deteriorates first, followed by decision-making, followed by gross motor performance. Your forehand is a fine motor skill. It's the canary in the coal mine, the 4-week mental training plan. This plan is designed for competitive tennis players, club level through collegiate, who have solid technical foundations, but leak unforced errors under pressure. It's progressive. Each week builds on the previous one. Don't skip ahead. Time commitment. 10-15 minutes per day of mental training, plus integration into your existing practice sessions. Week 1. Between point awareness and breathing. The problem you're solving. Tension accumulation and loss of reset habits. Daily practice. 10 minutes. Days. 1 to 3. Arousal awareness training. Sit somewhere quiet and rate your current physical tension on a 1 to 10 scale. Where do you feel it? Hands, jaw, shoulders? This is your baseline awareness skill. Most players have no idea how tense they are during a match because they never practice noticing tension outside of one. Spend 5 minutes scanning and rating, then 5 minutes practicing a controlled breathing pattern. 4 count. Inhale through the nose. 6 count. Exhale through the mouth. This ratio, longer exhale than inhale, preferentially activates the parasympathetic nervous system. Laborde, Mosley and Thayer, 2017. Days 4 to 7. Between point breathing in practice. For the full between point protocol, see the 16-second reset. During your regular hitting sessions and drills, add 1 deliberate breath cycle between every single point. Not some points. Every point. You are building a habit, and habits require consistency before they require intensity. After each breath, rate your tension. Did the breath bring it down? If not, add a grip release. Open and close your racket hand once during the exhale. End of week checkpoint. Can you execute the breath and release sequence between every point in a 20-minute practice set without forgetting? If yes, move to week 2. If no, repeat days 4 to 7. The goal this week is unglamorous. You are learning to notice your body and reset it on a 20-second cycle. Christensen, Sutton and McIlwain's research on expert performance, 2016, shows that elite athletes maintain a background awareness of their physical state, even during peak performance. They don't dissociate from the body. They calibrate it continuously. That's what you're training. Week 2. Cue words and attentional anchors as the problem you're solving. Anticipatory anxiety and negative self-talk. Daily practice. 12 minutes. Days 1 to 3. Self-talk audit. During practice, pay attention to what you say to yourself between points and during points. Write it down after the session. Don't filter. Common findings. Don't miss. Come on, what are you doing? Just get it in. Stop being so tight. These are avoidance cues, telling yourself what not to do, or evaluative judgments, rating your performance mid-match. Neither helps motor execution. Now build your replacement library. For each negative cue, create a short, positive, task-focused alternative. Negative cue, replacement, type, said in Noasmus Sohertis. He's don't miss. She threw the ball. Instructional, he's Sovdians, just get it in. He had deep cross-court. Tactical, he's Stolfensen, stop being tight. In the soft hands. Kinesthetic. Come on. He had next point. Near refocusing. Hardy, Oliver, and Todd, 2009, found that self-talk interventions in sport are most effective when the cue words are short, 1-3 words, task-relevant, and practiced extensively before competition. Motivational self-talk. I can do this. Works for effort tasks. Instructional self-talk. Racket head up. And works for precision tasks. Tennis requires precision. Go instructional. Days 4 to 7. Attentional anchors for serve and return. Design 2 micro-routines. Serve anchor. Before your service motion, select 1 kinesthetic cue. Not a technical checklist. 1 feeling. Smooth toss. Full extension. Snap. Say it silently, then serve. The cue is your attentional anchor. It keeps your focus on the task and locks out the scoreboard, the opponent, and the don't double fault voice. Return anchor. As your opponent bounces the ball, focus your eyes on the ball in their hand. Say 1 tactical cue silently. Early, attack, or deep. When the toss goes up, your eyes track it. The cue gives your brain a job to do, which preempts the anxiety pattern. Practice both anchors in every hitting session this week. If you catch yourself reverting to a negative cue, just don't punish yourself. Just replace it. The replacement is the training. Week 3. First set loss recovery protocol. The problem you're solving. Outcome focus and momentum collapse after losing a set. Daily practice, 12 minutes. Here's a scenario that kills competitive tennis players. You lose the first set, 4-6. It was competitive, but your opponent played the big points better. Now you're sitting on the changeover before the second set, and your brain is running two unhelpful programs simultaneously. Program 1, replaying the points you should have won. Program 2, projecting forward to what happens if you lose the second set too. Neither program involves playing the next point. Both programs increase arousal and degrade attentional focus. Stan Wawrinka was famous for this kind of recovery. His 2014 Australian Open quarterfinal against Djokovic is a masterclass. Down a set and a break in the second, Wawrinka visibly reset. Longer pauses between points, more deliberate ball bouncing, shorter rallies initiated by him coming to net. He won in 5 sets. Post-match, he credited his mental preparation. He had practiced the scenario of losing the first set and having a specific protocol to follow. It wasn't hope. It was a trained response. Days, West 1-3. Visualization of the recovery scenario. Use Pedal P-based imagery. Holmes and Collins, 2001. Sit in a chair, wearing what you'd wear to a match, holding your racket. Visualize in first-person perspective, seeing through your own eyes, not watching yourself from the stands. Build the scene. You've just lost the first set. Visualize the specific feeling. The disappointment, the opponent's confidence, the scoreboard showing 4-6. Now visualize yourself sitting on the changeover. You take a drink. You take 2 deliberate breath cycles. You say 1 sentence to yourself. New set. Same plan. You pick 1 tactical adjustment. Just 1. Maybe you're going to return from 2 feet inside the baseline. Maybe you're going to come to net on every short ball. Visualize yourself walking out for the first game of the second set with that 1 adjustment loaded. Visualize executing it. Feel the ball on the strings. Hear the pop of a clean return. The Pedal P model specifies 7 elements for effective imagery. Physical, hold the racket. Environment, visualize the court. Task, the specific tactical play. Timing, real-time speed, not slow motion. Learning, update the imagery as your skills improve. Emotion, include the frustration of losing the set, then the shift to determination. And perspective, first person. Research shows this structured approach produces significantly larger performance gains than unstructured just imagine winning visualization. Smith et al., 2007. Wright and Smith, 2009. Days 4-7. Practice set deployment. Play practice sets where you deliberately start the second set down, 0-1. Give your opponent a free game. This simulates the psychological position of losing the first set. Deploy your recovery protocol. The changeover breathing, the single sentence reset, the 1 tactical adjustment. Evaluate. Did the protocol prevent a spiral, or did you carry frustration into the second set? If you carried frustration, extend the changeover routine. Add a physical trigger. Stand up. Bounce on your toes 3 times. Adjust your strings. Give the body something to do, because when the body moves with purpose, the mind follows. Week 4. Match play. Pressure simulation. The problem you're solving. The practice to competition performance gap. Daily practice. 15 minutes. Here's the uncomfortable truth about weeks 1-3. Everything you've trained so far has been under low to moderate pressure. Your breathing protocol works beautifully when nothing is at stake. The question is whether it holds up when something is. Bandura's self-efficacy theory, 1977, tells us that the most powerful source of confidence is mastery experience. But the mastery has to occur under conditions that approximate the actual challenge. Breathing calmly in your living room does not build confidence for breathing calmly at 5-5 in the third. You need graduated pressure exposure, days 1-2, consequence drills. During practice, introduce meaningful stakes to every drill. Examples that work. Loser of the set does 20 burpees. First player to 7 points wins. but if you make an unforced error, you lose 2 points instead of one. Play a tiebreaker where every point starts at 5-5, 30-30. The stakes should be high enough that you feel a physiological shift, elevated heart rate, slight tension, but not so high that the drill becomes unpleasant. The sweet spot is where you notice the pressure and have to actively use your tools to manage it. Days 3-4, full match simulation with mental skill tracking. Play a full practice match. Keep a mental scorecard alongside the regular score. After each game, rate yourself 1-5 on 3 questions. Did I complete my between point reset on most points? Did I use instructional cue words rather than negative self-talk? Did I maintain my breathing pattern through pressure points? Don't aim for 5-5 on every game. Aim for 3+ on each metric consistently. The tracking itself is a training tool. It keeps your attention on the mental process rather than the outcome. Days 5-7. The dress rehearsal. Play a practice match and treat it exactly like a real tournament match. Warm up the way you would on match day. Use your full pre-match routine. Execute the between point protocol on every point. If you lose the first set, deploy the week 3 recovery protocol. If you face a tiebreaker, use your cue word anchor aggressively. First strike, every point. Swan et al., 2017. Distinguish between flow states, effortless, automatic performance, and clutch states, effortful, heightened awareness under pressure. Clutch states are what you need at crunch time, and they're characterized by intense focus, deliberate decision-making, and heightened awareness of the stakes combined with strong process focus. Everything you've trained in. Weeks 1-3 prepares you for clutch performance. The breathing regulates arousal. The cue words direct attention. The recovery protocol prevents collapse. And the pressure simulation gives you reps under conditions that approximate the real thing. What happens after week? 4. This plan is a foundation, not a ceiling. After 4 weeks, you'll have 4 trained skills. A between point reset that regulates your physiology on a 20-second cycle. A cue word library that replaces anxiety-driven self-talk with task-focused instructions. A set loss recovery protocol that prevents emotional carryover between sets. Pressure tolerance built through graduated simulation. Maintain these by continuing to practice them in every training session. Mental skills decay without maintenance, just like physical skills. You wouldn't stop hitting forehands for a month and expect them to hold up. Same principle, track your unforced error count over the next 2 months. If you're like most players who complete this kind of structured mental training, you'll see a 15-25% reduction in unforced errors, with the largest improvements coming in second and third sets, where tension accumulation and emotional carryover traditionally spike. Mamasis and Doganis, 2004, found exactly this pattern in competitive junior tennis players who completed a mental skills training program. The biggest gains were in pressure situations, not in comfortable leads. One more thing. There's a persistent myth in tennis that mental toughness is something you either have or you don't. That some players are born clutch and others are born chokers. It's a comforting narrative because it absolves you of responsibility. If you can't handle pressure, well, you just weren't built for it. It's also wrong. Mental skills are skills. They respond to systematic training the same way a backhand does. The players you see performing under pressure at the highest levels, Djokovic, Sinner, Sabalenka, Swiatek, have all invested heavily in mental training. Not because they were weak, because they wanted every available edge. That's what this is. An edge. 4 weeks to build it. 20 seconds between every point to deploy it. Your unforced errors start in your head. Now you have a plan to fix them there. Keep training. Deploy the 16-second reset between every point. Start each match with the 5-minute mental warm-up. And if you want to understand why a sport-specific approach works better than generic mindfulness apps, read Why Sports Psychology Apps Beat Generic Meditation. This is mental training content, not therapy. If you're experiencing persistent anxiety or distress that affects your daily life beyond sport, consult a licensed mental health professional.